You can buy Saudi oil by the gallon down at the corner, and soon you could buy Saudi oil by the share. Saudi Arabia has begun releasing information on its ambitious plans to overhaul its economy to weaken its dependence on oil. The Saudis are the second largest oil producers in the world, just under the U.S. and just ahead of Russia. Part of the Saudi plan includes selling off shares of the state-owned oil company Aramco. That's a company senior Saudi officials think is worth as much as $3 trillion, trillion with a T as in trillion. Marketplace's Jed Kim reports on what could be the largest IPO in the history of the known universe.
To get an idea of how big a deal such a listing would be, you have to remember that we don't even know for sure how much oil Saudi Arabia has. We just kind of take their word for it. Robin Mills is CEO of Qamar Energy.
National oil companies in general, and Aramco in particular, are certainly not transparent. They carefully guard their secrets. And so, you know, if Aramco is indeed listed on a major international exchange and has to reveal details of its financial accounts and its reserves and so on, that would be groundbreaking.
There's also the macro look at how valuable the world's largest energy company is. Less than 5% of Aramco would be listed, but that's expected to bring in more than $100 billion. Alex Schindler is an editor for Energy Intelligence.
When you do the numbers, you're like, wow, that's really out of the realm of anything we've ever seen before.
The kingdom aims to implement its entire Saudi Vision 2030 plan by, well, 2030. But its leaders want to be free of oil dependence by 2020. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
So Saudi Arabia could end up selling as much as 5% of the government-owned fossil fuel company on its home stock exchange and possibly in New York as well. The timing is especially interesting to Matthew Weatherly White, who focuses on what's called impact investing at the Caprock Group. That's about investing designed to bring about positive change, environmental and otherwise. He joins us from Boise, Idaho.
There's only three reasons that they might sell shares in Saudi Aramco right now. The first reason is that they know the answer to one of the greatest mysteries in the capital markets. How much oil do they actually have? And the answer is not nearly as much as we think. It's not going to be worth as much in the future. The second reason is they just need cash. Maybe the price of buying off the Wahhabi extremists in the country is greater than we think, but they've got $650 billion in foreign reserves. So that kind of doesn't really hold. And so you're left with the third option, which is, why are they doing it now when oil prices have dropped? And the only thing that makes a lot of sense to me is that they are hedging the future value of Saudi Aramco. And they think that it might be worth a lot less in the future than it is now. So let's sell some shares.
So why would partially privatizing Saudi Arabia's oil company be a hedge against that?
The Saudis are really, really smart. And they're not going to do that when prices are low unless they're thinking that maybe this is a giant hedge against the possibility that some of their assets will be stranded. They have done a fantastic job at effectively manipulating, from a geopolitical perspective, the pricing environment around oil. Right now, it's not working. Like, OPEC as an organization is effectively broken. I don't think that the Saudis would be thinking about selling a portion of what is arguably the world's most valuable single asset at a time when prices are really, really low, unless they were hedging something.
We do have low oil prices. That much I can confirm. There's a mantra that this should stimulate our economy. You think it could tip us into recession?
Yes. We have to remember that post-financial crisis, one of the greatest drivers for job creation was the oil and gas industry. Now you've got a situation where banks' balance sheets are being impaired by the very real probability that a lot of the oil and gas energy, you know, exploration and production companies are going bankrupt. What we're seeing now is that the impairment of bank balance sheets are really driving some interesting dislocations in price discovery and economic activity throughout the whole country. It's a little bit of a stretch to say, hey, oil prices are causing this, but I don't think it's a stretch to say there's more than a correlation here and there's likely a partial causation at work.
Matthew Weatherly White is managing director at the Caprock Group, focusing on impact investing. Matthew, thank you.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
France has won a massive military contract to make stealth submarines for Australia, $39 billion to DCNS Group of France, as Australia works to assert itself in a region where China has also been assertive. A Japanese shipbuilder had also been a strong contender for that contract. The Japanese car maker Mitsubishi has admitted that it has been cheating on tests to measure fuel consumption for about a quarter century, significantly longer than first suggested when the news broke late last week. More from BBC business correspondent Russell Padmore.
At a news conference today in Tokyo, Mitsubishi president Tetsuro Akaiwa admitted the company had used the wrong method to test the fuel economy of models sold in Japan since 1991. He apologized to customers who bought cars based on incorrect information. However, the company still doesn't know the full extent of its problems, and it's set up a special investigation to look into it. Mitsubishi shares have lost half their value since the manipulation of fuel efficiency figures first emerged, as investors fear it could face huge fines. Mitsubishi is no stranger to scandal. 15 years ago, it was forced to admit covering up complaints from customers about defects in its cars. It's uncertain how this scandal will end, but Volkswagen has been forced to put by billions recently to pay for compensation for cheating emissions tests.
Mitsubishi's stock has lost about half its value since last week. Now, it's one of those surveys from a company with a special axe to grind, but here it is from a pet insurance company in Britain. It is not uncommon for British companies to give employees paid time off to help settle a new pet, dog, cat, or budgie. 1 out of 20 new pet owners in Britain have availed themselves of this. This is usually a matter of a few hours off, but the British media found an IT firm called Bitsol Solutions of Manchester, England, that gives employees 3 weeks paid leave to settle a new pet. They're calling this paw-ternity leave. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Beatty Jong. Our engineer this week is Daniel Ramirez. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.